Hi everyone, I am Daniel Prin, a staff writer with The Movie Buff, and this is The Buff at South by Southwest.
Luchadoras is right, yeah.
Luchadoras.
But I would say I am the director and Patrick is the co-director, if that's fine for you.
Oh, sorry. So you're the director and then Patrick's the co-director?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start again. Awesome.
Okay.
For this episode, I'm joined by the director and co-writer of Luchadoras. If you don't mind introducing yourself, Paola.
Hi, Daniel. I am Paola Calvo. I am the director and co-writer of Luchadoras, and I am very happy to be here with you today.
Awesome. And I'm happy you're here too. Cool. I thought I'd start with a fun one. Do you know what your wrestling alter ego would be?
Oh, this is so nice. You know, I've been thinking about that, and I will say I will be something like the Black Panther or something like that. And yeah, I would say something like Black Cat or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, I like it. Would you do mask or no mask?
Well, this is a very interesting question, because the mask is something that is very Mexican and it's very rooted to the Mexican culture. So I would love to wear a mask, but there are these feelings of thoughts of cultural appropriation, which I think at the end, finally, I wouldn't wear a mask just to respect this Mexican tradition, you know. But if we forget about all this, then I would totally love to wear a mask.
Okay, that is fair. And just on that topic too, just with the aspect of the mask, I thought it was really interesting, just Baby Star's character never wanting to take it off. If you wanted to expand.
Yeah, well, when we began to do the shooting, we got to know her, and we found it was she had like a very interesting energy and story for sure. And so, yeah, like we talked to her and it was clear if we're making a film about fighters, about wrestlers, then the first identity is this wrestler identity that we're going to show. So it was clear that if this is what we are going to show from her, then we cannot show her in the private life, because then, you know, this to have a hidden identity is part of what she is. In the Lucha Libre, so it was clear that we would not be able to show her face, and this developed into very interesting thoughts for us, like can we make a film with somebody who's never showing her face? Is it something that it's gonna work? Is it something that people or the audience are gonna connect to? And because, you know, normally when you have superheroes, you always see the two faces. You see the superhero with the mask, and then you see it mainly without the mask. So Patrick and I had like a lot of conversations between us and with other people about that. And we were really, really, really surprised how well it did work in the final project, you know, like in the editing when we were watching the film and working with material. Baby Star is a super powerful character because of her story, because of what she represents. So it totally worked out, and we were super amazed, I have to say. It was really like a big question, like, can we do this? And yes, we could. And it's super interesting because a lot of people come to us and tell us, the person I got most identified with, Baby Star. And this is super strong, like, just imagine, you know, somebody who you are never seeing her face, but you anyway, you get to know her, you get to know who's that woman, and you get to know how she feels and what she fights for and who she is. So that's the magic of cinema.
For sure. So just to ver like clarify. So like in her real life, she would take her mask off when she's at home, but for the documentary in her private life, you just wanted to keep the mask on the whole time.
Exactly, that was the deal, finally. Yeah, she doesn't have breakfast with her mask on the table. Not always. I mean, the mask is something that it's always there, you know, like it's not a problem to wear a mask. And it was also a question for us, like, is it going to be okay for her to be always wearing the mask? And it was not an issue at all. Like, the mask was also a part of her, and it was not a problem to put on the mask if we wanted to shoot. But she's not going to sleep with the mask. She takes it off when the lights go down.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I watching it, I was just thinking to myself, like, just to bring it back to North American wrestling, I was like, because I'm familiar with Rey Mysterio, and I was like, okay, I never actually pictured him just like going home and having the mask on the whole time. So I thought that was interesting to watch, but that's cool to get the backstory. Talking about Rey Mysterio in the WWE, and it's definitely like in the mainstream with like Nacho Libre, but like what was it like for you bringing Lucha Libre like more to the showing it in film like this?
Well, for us, Lucha Libre was, let's say, a field which we didn't know that well, because Lucha Libre is not so, people don't practice it here in Europe as much as they do over there. So we were not really connected to the scene. And of course, I mean, once we were there and we saw what people were doing in the ring, we were just like blown away, you know, they jump, they fly, they fight, they fall down, they stand up again, they get out into the, they jump out of the ring, they fight with the public, then they come back in the ring. Like, it's like, there are no rules. Everything is possible. And you never know what's gonna happen, you know, like, and this was super, super fun, super enjoyable, super interesting. And, you know, like, put it together with the topic of the film. Like, we went to shoot in Ciudad Juarez, which is a place known because of the violence against women. And then we found this Lucha Libre community where women are super strong and super powerful. So we thought, okay, this is amazing. You know, these women are giving new role models for other women in Mexico and around the world. Like, women in Ciudad Juarez are strong and powerful, and they fight back. And this was like super important for us and super inspiring when we went there.
So yeah, it's definitely like you wanted to bring that social aspect and shed light on that, as well as like putting it through this lens, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The energy of the rest, the Lucha Libre and the Luchadoras, like, definitely comes through the screen. But like, what is it like being there when they're actually fighting? Like, what's that energy like being there in person?
It's just crazy. I mean, like, what I was saying, what they do in the ring, and this, they fly in the ring and they crash on the floor and they stand up again. And it's just amazing. But it's not only them, it's not only the fighters or the wrestlers, it's also the public, you know, like, there is this feeling of when you're in a Lucha Libre session in there in Juarez, like, everybody's going crazy. Like, people are supporting, people are screaming, people are giving all, you know, it's like a, I don't know, like a ball of energy which is growing and growing and growing and doesn't stop. It's super powerful. Like, you're there and you're totally energized, and it works, you know. Like, everybody goes to Lucha Libre. This is something that everybody does in Mexico, like, from children till the grandparents, mothers, neighbors, cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody goes there. It's super affordable. It's like the fun of the weekend. And you are there with your family and your friends, and you're supporting your idols. And they are really idols. Like, you can see they have superpowers, and you think, like, what the fuck? And the most amazing thing is not only that you can be there supporting them, but also you can get rid of the stress of the week and get all the shit out of you and just scream. And, you know, it's like a way of getting out of the stress, and it gets this cathartic moment where people just get rid of all these bad energies, and then at the end you feel like you've been to heaven, you know. So it's super powerful, it's super fun, it's it's a great way to spend the weekends. Like, it's we became fans of Lucha Libre after that. Like, it's really, really, really enjoyable and powerful.
Okay, now being back in Germany, do you miss it? Like, going to that every weekend?
Yeah, of course. Like, of course, what I say, you know, in Germany, there are other ways of finding this catharsis in your life. But Lucha Libre is not a way to do that. And we've been here to some fights and it was fun also, but it's not the same energy, you know, like the public is not responding the same way it happened in Mexico, and it's totally different. There are totally different ways of approach to the wrestlers and to the way they fight. They have also different structures or techniques, or yeah, it's different. It's different. So I mean, when we're in Mexico, we always go to Lucha Libre. It's super fun, really. It's energizing.
Okay, awesome. Well, were there any crazy like crowd moments or just anything in general that didn't make it into the documentary?
Oh, there were a lot of things happening. There was once, because of course we've been not only to the fights of our protagonists, we were also watching other fights, and we were also shooting with other people, which at the end didn't make it to the film. So there were public jumping into the ring, public fighting with the fighters in the ring, and doing like this crazy stuff. There were people screaming. This is really, there is this one woman who made it into the film in the sound. She will, you know, she will just not think about, like, she will just criticize everything which was in front of her. And you know, like, there is this Mexican, you have like super super beautiful words to how do you say, to criticize, or to bad words, you know? I don't know how you say that in English. And it will be so fun just to be there watching this, listening to this woman, what she was saying. It's really a super interesting field to be there and to be with the people. Really, other things happen when you are there. It's not like going to the football or going to a basketball. It's totally different. It's more, there is much more passion in there than in other sports.
Okay. That's great. Also, with the cinematography, was it fun, like, just filming the fights in general too?
Filming the fights was a little bit harsh because it was Patrick and me doing the cinematography. I was doing the second camera, so it was difficult because they were moving so fast that it was difficult to follow them, and it was difficult, let's say, to have a nice shot on focus, you know, like not to be shaky, to be in the moment when things are happening, to pan in the right moment when things are happening, you know. So like making cinematography for fast sports is super tough. It's not something that it's easy, but as I say, it was super fun. So it was challenging, but it was fun.
Okay, yeah, I feel you. I did sports photography for a while, and I mean, that's a whole different beast than actually kind of trying to catch it on film. But I totally feel you with just being like, just take one shot and trying to get it in focus, and then they're already past the frame.
It gets very technical then. You have to be really on point when you're shooting that. So it's a little bit stressful. But there was a moment I remember, we were shooting some training, and Patrick was in the ring, like on the ring with the protagonist, with Lady Candy. I think the shot is in the film, and he was so close to her that at some point she just moved and she crashed against him, like really badly. Like I was like, oh God, there's something bad coming. Nothing happened. But just to understand, we were super close. When we could, we were super close to them also in the ring. And then there were some, let's say, dangerous situations, like not really dangerous, but you know, fun danger. Yes.
Okay. Just gets your heart racing a bit. Oh, that kind of danger.
Exactly. Like feeling a little bit like you're in a fight, but I mean, thanks God, not. But a little bit like the risk of getting beat was for sure real, and it did happen.
Okay, fair enough. Also, yeah, just with you being in Germany right now, like, and you not really being super familiar with Lucha Libre before this, like, how did you guys hear about this story? How did it come to you?
Well, you know, we've been paying a lot of attention to what was happening in Juarez. Juarez is a place which is well known because of the violence against women. And for us, this is like a very devastating situation, you know, to know that there is a place where women get killed just because they're a woman is just horrible. Like I there are no words to express how we feel when knowing that. So when we began to do our research, we realized that Lucha Libre was something very big in Ciudad Juárez. And for our surprise, when we went there for the first time, we realized, okay, here are happening so amazing things with women, you know, like women are strong, women are powerful, women are fighting back. So I thought this was super inspiring, super powerful. And that's why we decided to make the film, because it gave us a lot of inspiration, you know, like to think what, to give a new speech about the city. You know, there are a lot of communities, there are a lot of women, there are a lot of people in Ciudad Juárez who are fighting back to all this injustice that is happening there. And we wanted to bring it into pictures and we wanted to show it to the world.
Okay, yeah, you definitely give it a voice. So that's great. There was a stat here that in Mexico, every 2.5 hours, a woman or a trans woman gets killed just for being a woman.
This is horrible. I mean, how can we live in a society where these things happen and just don't do anything? You know, like it's really, I don't know, a lot of things have to change. Daniel, like a lot of things, this is not fair. Like I've saw in so many levels, we really have to change that.
But what is it? What was it like just with that? Like just exploring them, like how in one line, I think it was Lady Candy who said that. Sorry, how do you say the city name?
Ciudad Juárez.
Candy calls it the most dangerous place in the world, and it's literally a 25-minute drive from El Paso, Texas, which she calls the safest place in the world. What was that contrast like to put on film?
It's crazy. It's really crazy. First of all, the first time we arrived in Juárez, the wall was not existing. They were just building up the wall. The wall is not actually a wall. It's like a fence. Let's say 3 years back, there was not even a border separating El Paso from Ciudad Juárez. So it was even much more abstract to think, okay, what is going on there? And we were talking to the taxi drivers and the people who were meeting there, and everybody would say, I've never crossed the border. I've never been there. I don't know what's going on there. And I don't want to go there. So it's totally abstract, and it's super, it feels so strange that these places that actually are like one city, but they are just divided by the river or like the dry river when they're in the summer, there is no water. But so it feels super strange to say, okay, how is that possible? You know, that this place that actually feels like it's one thing, how is it possible that it's so different in one side and the other side? So yeah, it was an interesting experience to be in there, to be in Juárez. The thing of Juárez is that the danger in Juárez is real, you know. So the things in Juárez happens, a lot of things, and they really happen. So when you're there, the thing is that you don't only have to deal with the danger, but you also have to deal with your fears, because when there is danger, then the fears show up. And the problem with fears is that fear is personal, it's individual, it's not rational. So you will be in a situation, for example, Patrick and I will be in a situation where I will feel totally unsafe and I will think like, hey, I don't like the place, I would like to leave. And for Patrick will be a place where he will say, Pau, I feel totally, totally safe here. Mm. So the question is, when you're in a place like that, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with your belly feelings? And what of these belly feelings are paranoia, you know, like, and this is, I think, the most tricky and the most difficult thing to deal, especially if you live in these kind of places. And this generates a lot of, behavior structures in the way you, in your daily life, that, let's say, form how you deal with the people and how you interact with the people. And this was, I think, one of the most challenging things we were through while we were doing the film there. I think this we learned a lot about that, about this kind of places and how to deal with these kind of situations.
Okay. Yeah, and just to your point, just if you're feeling unsafe in a situation and Patrick doesn't feel the same. Like, I guess just me watching, like, just as a man, just and being like, okay, like, obviously the women face very, very different situations in both this city and in just general around the world, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like there are different ways of behavior, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, it's so crazy. Okay, if I begin to talk about all these things, there was the first time we went in Juarez, there was this politician saying that they have to put a curfew for women not to be in the streets at night. So we have a situation there where there are bad people doing bad things to women, and the ones who have to pay for that are the women who should not be allowed to go in the streets so that they don't get killed. And this is something that this kind of structures in the way we think, this is what I was saying before, this has to change. This cannot be the way of how we deal with the situation, how we deal with the problem. We need education for the people. We need to understand women are also independent. Women can go out, they can earn their money, they can do whatever they want with their life, and they don't belong to nobody. So people have to think about what kind of rules there has to be so that these things change. But the problem is all these things are happening and there's no people who are being punished for that. There is no one. There are no cases that has been closed. There's nothing. Like it's like a big structure controlling the city and also the country, that it's just it has to be demolished. This is just not the way we are here to be for, you know, in the world. This has to really change. Sorry, I don't know if I answered your question, Daniel.
Oh, you answered it perfectly. And just with that, are you really hoping that your film can help bring that change, even if it's just a little bit?
I don't think that my film is going to change some realities at all. But what I hope is that people begin to think about who we are and how do we understand the world. And I think we live in structures, cultural structures that are very old and they are very settled in all societies around the world. And they are crashing with the way the roles, the gender roles are right now developing, you know, like traditionally the man will work outside the home, the woman will stay at home, but the work the woman was doing at home was never paid, but the work the man was doing outside the home was paid. So it was the man who will bring the money to the house and the woman will take care of the children. And this is structure, it's very old, it happened hundreds of years ago, but it's changing. And I think one of the reasons why all this violence against women is happening is exactly because of that. The roles are changing, women are bringing also the financial support of the families. And there are people who cannot deal with this roles change that are happening now, you know? And this is, I would like, if you ask me, what would I like the film or what do I want the audience to get from the film? Just to be aware of all these structures, just to be aware of who we are and change all this sexist way of analyzing the world, because it's everywhere, Daniel. It's not only in Mexico, it's not only in Ciudad Juárez, it happens everywhere. Like it happens around my corner here in Berlin, even though, you know, Germany, it should be like very developing that kind of stuff. It happens everywhere. And we really have to change that. We really have to change. And women should get together. Women should be proud of being woman. And we have to fight for our rights.
For sure. For sure. Like, yeah, like even here in Canada with just with the missing Indigenous women here and just that being a problem.
This is horrible. Like, how
it is.
I just... Who ever thought that this is a way we should live together? You know, like what is going on? Like, it's just not fair. It's not fair. And it's based in these ideas of, having all these old structures and gender roles and all these things that are just not real for maybe for some, it's okay. Like if it works for some, it's okay, but it's not working for everyone. So we have to be open, we have to change, we have to educate in another way.
that was great. As well, like just kind of staying on that point, but just in a different way. Just there was one scene that like stuck out to me, just with it was Lady Candy and some of her friends. Just where the scene where the man gets shot and they're just having a casual conversation about how the body hasn't been covered and how there's always a white sheet that comes out. It's almost like dark humor in a way, but it's also just very sad that that's commonplace, that it's such a casual conversation within that.
Yes, I mean there are so many things and so many levels in this scene what you're commenting now, because yeah, from one side you have this idea of, okay, that's the daily life, you know, they deal every day with the situation that somebody got shot around the corner, and this is and I'm not even talking about men or women, this violence happens there every day, and what are the consequences of that, that at some point you just get used to it. And I would say, like, a way of surviving to these kind of situations is to twist it and make a joke out of that. Like, let's say what you were saying, like a black humor joke. But I think that's a way of surviving, you know, for them. Because what's the alternative? To be there lying, crying, screaming, of course, I mean, This also happens, but I think you can stay there and feel devastated and not do nothing, or yeah, you have to live your life every day. So it's a super difficult situation to deal with, I have to say. Like what I was saying before, you know, the city is so dangerous and there are so many things that happen that that humor, I think, is one of the ways to deal with that. And I have to say, I was super surprised with our protagonist, because even though they are very different personality-wise, they all are super fun. You know, like they will stand up in the day and they always have a smile in their faces. And this is what I say, this survival energy, you know, like, hey, you know, that's a place where I live, but I have to make a living here. So I'm gonna try the best I can to be here. And this is something I admire from them, that that they really find the energy to have this smile on their faces when, I don't know, maybe here in Germany or maybe in Canada, there are people complaining because the sun is not coming out. You know what I mean? And they feel in depression because they don't see the sun. And then you go to Juarez and these people have a smile in their faces. Of course, it's just the surface. Inside, a lot of other things are there to deal with, what I was saying before, the fear and the danger and stuff. But from a superficial analyze, I think our protagonists, they also have this way of dealing with humor, which I think is super healthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, with that, it's just like a coping mechanism, right? And just with like the layered portrayal of just like exactly what you were just saying, with like so much going on in her life, but they still look genuinely happy. And I thought, yeah, just their spirits, to keep their spirits up during all of this, I thought that was like really inspiring to watch.
Look at the short statue with Minister Inita. She's always laughing, you know, and this is also, it was very important also in the film to show that she's always laughing, this woman, she can't have it so bad, you know, like, having this size and being a woman and working for the maquilas or these assemble factories, come on, like, what the fuck? It's the situation is just like, what? But she's laughing every time, and you call her and she's laughing, and you know, even though I talked to her 2 days ago, and you know, she has a happy spirit, as you were saying, and this is really something I really admire from them, from all of them.
Awesome. Yeah, and I love that scene where she's just talking with like an Uber driver, and she's, well, I mean, and it's like going back to the dark humor, she's like, oh, I wonder why I haven't died yet, and then the person said they couldn't see you, and just that's one of my favorite moments, just because of her laugh, like, to that moment.
Exactly, that's what I mean, she just laughs, because it's, you know, that's the thing of humor is fun, because it has a little bit of truth, which hurts, And at the same time, it twists the situation. So that's the perfect example. Yeah, you made it. You put it on the point. Yeah.
Okay, great. And just with that, what was the opportunity for you and for Patrick, just to be able to share the stories of Lady Candy, Baby Star, and Mini Serenata? Is that how you say it?
Yes, very good.
Okay, and yeah, just sharing their voices within their sport and just within their community. What was that opportunity like?
Well, I think I feel honored that these three wonderful women trusted us to be with them and to make this project together. Like, because, you know, we arrived to Juarez and they didn't know us. They even, you know, we didn't have anything really to show of the things we've been doing before. So it was a trust situation, you know? So I am super thankful, and I feel super honored that we were able to be with them and to share the time with them and to bring their stories into a film. This is something like, I can only say thank you to them for the trust they put on us and for the time we had together, because we really had a really good time. We learned a lot from them, what I was saying, like they are strong people and strong women. And we really hope that the audience can see that in them when they see the film and can get inspired by them.
Okay, great. I know I was. So that's awesome.
Nice, also, thank you.
Just last one. What does it mean for you premiering at South by Southwest?
Oh, it means so much, Daniel. Like, where can I begin? I mean, even though we are here in so far away from there, South by Southwest is like a super big festival. And I always wanted, since I began to make films, I always wanted to go there. So it was always like a place to be. And imagine, you know, Ciudad Juarez is, I think, 6 hours by car from Austin, where the festival is taking place. So we had these dreams like, man, if we would not be in Corona times, imagine we could make like a huge caravan of fighters, you know, in different cars and travel from Juarez to Austin and make an incredible show with the audience. And, you know, I would love to bring this woman to a film audience, to a cinema audience, because they are very used to the Lucha Libre audiences. But I really, really wanted them to be in front of another audience, because there are other kinds of questions and other kinds of dealing with that. First of all, South by Southwest, amazing. If we could have the possibility to be there with them and the protagonist, would be like the cherry on the cake, but it's not the case. So anyway, we were super happy. I took off like for the week of the festival. Like, I'm not gonna work. I'm just gonna be sitting in front of my computer, watching everything I can, connecting with so many people I can. Like, I wanted, even though we're not there, like I wanted to make it like very connected as possible. How do you say, like, I want to get in touch with the public. I want to get in touch with the audience. I want to get in touch with other filmmakers. Like, I want to make the best out of this experience for sure. And we are super, super, super happy and honored to be there.
I'm terrible at geography, so I kind of got chills just knowing that they're 6 hours away from the festival, because that, just picturing that, that would be awesome if they could go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna happen, because no, the festival is only taking place online, but this could be so amazing. But I mean, we will have other chances. I hope for the summer that other festivals will also show the film, so then they can go. But yeah, South by Southwest is actually, I think, is one of the best places in the world where this film could have premiere, so we're super, super happy.
Okay, that is awesome. Paola Calvo, director and co-writer of Luchadoras, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much for getting attention for this project and wanting to talk to me. I appreciate that very much.
Awesome.
And I wish you all the best.